Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello. Hi, everybody. How are you guys today? This is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Here we are, survived another week. Go us. Just moving on in this crazy, lifey time, and I'm really happy to be here with you guys today. I've had a really awesome week. Yesterday was my 49th birthday. I had such a nice time celebrating with some friends, and tomorrow night I get to go out and have dinner with some live music. So I'm having a happy week. I hope you're having a happy week. And if you're not, I hope the next hour of your life with me brings a little bit of joy and light into that time. So today I have a really incredibly special interview for you. Anyone who's heard my story has probably heard me talk about the Rosie O'Donnell Show and Jeanette Barber, who was Rosie's producer at the time, who was confined to a motorized wheelchair because of such severe pain in her feet and legs. And my mother was watching the Rosie O'Donnell Show and happened to catch a segment called Fix Jeanette, in which Rosie had kind of pushed Jeanette onto the stage and said, "Hey, this is a problem my dear producer is having. She has no idea what's wrong with her. She is in desperate need of some help. Hey guys out there, does anyone have an idea for Jeanette?" And people wrote in that she's going to tell the story. I forget exactly who, but she came in contact with Dr. John Sarno, who indeed was the man who became my doctor and then my mentor and then my colleague for years and years. The reason I have my life and the reason I've been able to bring this message to you. So just such an incredible story. And then, of course, as you're going to hear in the interview, it really comes full circle because as I was doing this work and became acquainted with Jeanette, she was suffering a relapse of pain. She did not realize it was TMS. I could bring the guidance to her and then she could heal because of me. And so it is a beautiful full circle. I love stories like this. Just showing us the connectedness of people and the goodness of human beings and, you know, all that stuff that really keeps me going and brings some brightness into our days. So I hope you enjoy this interview. I've really grown to feel so dear for Jeanette. Just like I really love her. She's a wonderful person and so funny and so engaging. And so enjoy this conversation. If you're new to my work, just hop on over to thecureforchronicpain.com, which is my website. Click on the resources tab, and anything you need to know or learn about my work is there. A lot of my resources are free, so you can just get going on understanding what mind-body medicine is, what TMS is, how your brain and your nervous system may be protecting you from your repressed emotional world with your pain, and you are stuck in fight, flight, or freeze, or fawn, and all these very important things for you to understand about what is absolutely going on in your body right now and ways in which you can reverse it and be completely free. So this weekend coming up, if you're listening to this podcast on the day it drops, we are beginning our weekend-long virtual retreat, people coming from all over the world. If indeed you are very, very, very last minute and want to sign up, just go over to the retreats tab on my website. There'll be a few hours to sign up after this podcast drops. Okay, my loves, I am so excited and so happy to share this beautiful interview with you between myself and Jeanette Barber. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. So this is a very exciting interview for me. I am here today with Jeanette Barber. Welcome, Jeanette.
Hi, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And okay, so not everybody who listens to this podcast has listened to every single thing I've ever put out there. So there is a chance that this is going to be a new story for a lot of you. And it is an incredibly life-changing story for me and maybe a little bit for Jeanette too.
Yes.
We will get into that. And so I'm just going to start, Jeanette, by telling a little bit of the background of what you are, what you represent in my life. So if anyone has read my book or listened to my podcast or heard me speak, you've often heard of that pivotal moment where my mother, in her very typical, lovely, mom, I love you, Jewish hysterical mother style, calls me in grad school and says, "I just saw something on the Rosie O'Donnell show. I know what's wrong with you." This was a pivotal moment because I had been diagnosed with this severe spinal abnormality called degenerative spondylolisthesis. And I was told as a 19-year-old that there would be no more sports, no more travel. The likelihood that I would have a biological child was slim to none, that I couldn't sleep in certain positions. I couldn't move in certain positions. I couldn't pick anything up over 10 pounds. It was a veritable life slash death sentence at 19. And I was, by the time I came in contact with Sarno's work, I was probably in my mid-20s. So I had already lived for several years fueled by fear, being very gentle with myself, how I moved and what I did, and having no idea what my future would bring, and living in on and off chronic pain. And so when my mother saw the Rosie O'Donnell show and saw Jeanette Barber running the New York Marathon after having been in a motorized wheelchair, she was a little excited.
Well, needless to say, so was I.
I'm sure you were. Jeanette and I have been in touch over the years, and our relationship has evolved, which we're going to talk about today. But it's just so important for me to point out that I am a huge believer in magic. I believe in the magic of human connection and of what are we all doing here and all that kind of thing. And for Jeanette to be this catalyst for me to learn about Dr. Sarno's work through secondhand account of a TV show that she was producing at the time. It's just really, I just love these kind of stories, and I love that it happened to us. So Jeanette, I'm just going to open it up and ask you, because I don't even know if we've ever fully discussed it, to tell me what exactly happened. What happened in terms of how bad was it, and what were you going through, and how did you find Dr. Sarno? And tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And I will just say as a foreshadowing, I also love what has happened with us. I love there's a full circle here that if you read it in a book, you would go, "Oh, please."
Right.
You know what I mean? And yet it's real. And I am right in the middle of really, you know, benefiting enormously. But I will tell the first part of the story first. So this was back, it was 1995, actually. I was running, I went running around the reservoir. Running is so amusing for me. I just walked, but I called it running because I thought it would sound better. But I would, you know, maybe, you know, run about 15 feet and call that a jog. And one day I was doing it and my ankle started to hurt. On the inside, like there's like a little ankle knuckle bone up from your heel, that little spot in front of the tendon. It was like the size of a quarter, and on both feet, and it just started to hurt. You know, at first you don't pay any attention to it, then it hurt more, I tried a chiropractor. That was my first stop. And he put my feet in a bucket of water and had me sit on a rubber mat while he electrocuted it. So.
Sounds fun.
Treatments. Yeah. You know, very, very Spanish Inquisition. About 5 months later, I started my job on the Rosie O'Donnell show. I was a comedy producer and head writer. And I had been a stand-up comic before this. So this was the most wonderful thing in the world, but it was also a step into the cauldron. Because it was an 80-hour-a-week job with a tremendous amount of pressure. My ankles continued to get worse. I had to wrap my ankles every day in ACE bandages to stand the pain, to get from my desk down to the studio. And it just kept getting worse. And this went on for almost 3 years. Wow. And by the second year, we went on remote. We were taping our show in California. And at the Universal Studios, I think it was. And the trailers were quite a distance from the venue. And at this point, I could no longer do it. I couldn't get from the trailer to the set anymore because it hurt so much. And they had to rent me one of those, you know, riding wheelchairs.
Yes.
Judy Gold, I don't know if you know her. She's a comic and she was at the show at the time and she put an FDR sign on the back. So,
oh boy.
You know, you try to, I know, you try to make your own fun, but it was really, awful. I put on 50 pounds.
50.
Yeah. 50.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was getting bigger and bigger. And then by the third year of this in season three, we had just been experimenting with doing stand-up on the show. So I had been down to Caroline's comedy club to look at comics for, to see, cause I was going to book who was going to be on. And there I was sitting in an environment where I used to work at 130 pounds, around comics in the life that was quite frankly a lot more fun because it was a lot less pressure. And I was the one on stage. I went for, and I sat in that environment now 50 pounds heavier and just miserable. I rode home. I rode back and forth. I traveled on that wheelchair and I rode home that night crying. And I then told my sister, I just couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't stand it anymore. Rosie had been saying for the past year, why don't we put you on the show and, you know, see if anybody knows what to do. And I rode into her office. I could no longer go in the studios for the taping anymore either because I'd get caught up on the cables and scared the guys
to
death.
Oh my goodness. So this is really dark stuff.
Oh, it was. And the pain, the pain got worse and worse. And initially it only hurt when I stood. Then I had to take a car service. This is how I got so fat. I couldn't even stand long enough to get a cab on Sixth Avenue. It just brutal, burning pain that started to go up my legs. So it got worse and worse and worse.
Which is very typical of a TMS story.
Which I now know, but at the time I thought, this is awful. Oh, the doctors, don't even get me started. I went to every doctor I could find. I had physical therapy twice a week for 2 years. I learned they would always say, it's tendonitis. And then after 2 weeks, they'd go, huh. Whenever I heard, huh, I knew it was time to go to another doctor.
Right.
Because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I went to one doctor. He was a sports medicine specialist who treated the Giants, did the Giant, whatever it meant. And I thought, oh, he'll try harder. He's got to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's a big team. And he told me after a 5-minute conversation, I was in my early 40s, that I probably wouldn't walk again. So I should get used to that. Then he directed me which hallway to walk down to pay.
Oh, boy.
I had another doctor whose name I recall, but I probably shouldn't say it, who called me at home after an examination and told me that I had double tendons in both ankles and he could cut them out.
Oh, boy.
And I said, you know, only thing is, I would imagine I have always had double tendons. They wouldn't have just grown. So it seems to me that is there another option before surgery? And he goes, I can't think of one. And my joke for years was he needed a boat.
Oh, boy.
Because what do you can't cut them out? I mean, they've always been there. How? So I didn't do that. Thank God. Thank God I didn't do that.
Thank God you didn't do that. I mean, I will tell you, a lot of people do come to my work after having several failed surgeries and they do still get better. But yes, thank God you didn't do that.
Yeah. So then finally to the ending, I rode in that night after Caroline's, I rode into Rosie's office. I remember what I was wearing. It was celery color. I like that color. And I just said, and I think I looked like I'd been beaten with a stick. And I said, Rosie, if you want to do it, now might be the time.
Put me on the show.
Yep. And she was great. She was willing long before I was. And she said, great. Come down. We did it in the first segment with a little chyron. That's the words underneath you that said, Fix Jeanette.
Yes. That's what my mom said. She goes, I just watched a follow-up on a segment called Fix Jeanette.
Yep. Which is so amazing that the impact that Rosie doing that has had on you. It brought us together and on so many people. And I got tons and tons and tons, thousands of letters. Some people said noni juice, a horrible tasting tropical juice, bunch of stuff. But then one day I got a call in my office from Tony Schwartz, the writer He at the time, I think he wrote The Art of the Deal. I know he did because I've seen him at the news.
Oh, he's the one who ghost wrote Trump's book.
Right. But he also ghost wrote a Michael Eisner book at the time. He's great, Tony Schwartz. And that book had been on our show. So he was watching and he also saw the Fixed Jeanette segment. And he called and he told me about Dr. Sarno. And I had gotten a couple other letters from Dr. Sarno, not nearly as loud as the Noni Juice. But because of Tony Schwartz, I decided to make the call. And I called Dr. Sarno. And at that time, I don't know if it ever changed, but at the time, he wouldn't accept a patient until after he talked to them on the phone.
Yes, never changed.
Right. So then, in the conversation, you know, he asked, you know, a little about my background. He asked about the pain. He asked how it started, you know, because I was able to tie it to running, my seven steps of running.
Right.
And then he asked whether or not I thought I could accept the idea that I could somatize pain. And I said, oh my God, that's all my therapist ever says every time I get a head cold. Because somatizing is, you could probably explain that better than I can, but it's you bring pain, emotional pain, or in the case of my therapist, a head cold to avoid something.
But, yeah. Basically, I'll just say that for those of you familiar with the language I use, it's the concept of sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, and they're literally interchangeable. So getting bad news could give you a stomach ache, and being nervous can make you break out in hives. It's just a way that we channel our big feelings into a space where, as the human brain feels comfortable, it can handle them, which is physical stuff, so somatic pain. So yes.
I knew you'd be able to explain it better. See. then he told me that 2020 was doing a story on him. This is in the same first phone call. Would I be willing to be part of that story? And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, it's TV. He'll try harder because I hadn't.
And let's remind people that although we are close to the year 2020 that has such a name recognition, this is the show, right? 2020. She's talking about the news program 2020.
Yeah, back then, and it was in the
– it was a big show
90s.
Back then.
Yeah, and John Stossel was the interviewer, and I did but that just happened. That isn't even a part of our story here. And I went to Dr. Sarno's lecture because you have an appointment, and he checks to make sure, because he was an orthopedic doctor, that there isn't anything that he thinks is not TMS.
Right.
He determined after our appointment that I did have TMS. He explained what it was. Then he would have you go to, he called it two lectures. I call it one long one with a break, where he explained in minute detail how he called it a covert operation. And he said, it's like a covert operation because once you know it's there, it's busted and it loses its power.
Right.
And that you didn't even have to know what you didn't, that the pain was caused by something you didn't know.
Unconscious.
An unconscious pain. And you didn't even have to figure it out. You just had to know completely that that was the cause of it. After 3 years of pain, the last 6 months in a wheelchair, pain that was debilitating, and at that point when I found Dr. Sarno, never stopped, even when I sat down, within 2 weeks, I was lumbering up a mountain path in Vermont. I say lumbering due to the weight gain.
Wow.
And it was gone completely.
So let me, before I continue with the story, first of all, everybody out there, I want you to know this is not the end of Jeanette's story, because recovery is not a straight line. She has a very similar story to me, which is I had complete pain relief from sort of kind of not even reading Sarno's book. And then it came back in my life later in a very, I won't say destructive way, but in a very inconvenient way, and then I had to really do the work. And so we're going to get to that. But I just always want to say that, because sometimes, Jeanette, people feel so bereft. They feel despair when they hear anyone say they got better that quickly, just because that's not how it happens for everyone. But it is the truth that our nervous systems are like a switch. It's either fight or flight, or it's rest and repair. You know, when Jeanette was in fight or flight, long-term sustained fight or flight, her pain was real. So this is never that the pain was in her head. It was just that the signals were firing in such a way from her brain and her nervous system to cause this tremendous, debilitating, burning pain in her feet and her ankles. But when she realized she was safe, similar to an animal where a predator is introduced and then the predator walks the other way, it's your whole nervous system changes. And that's what happened to Jeanette at this moment.
And I find it is really fascinating. And you're right to say it that way, because when you hear that and then you don't get over it within the first week, you think, oh, I must not have TMS. So spoiler alert, I got over it. But like you say, it's not a straight path, because it 14 years I was pain free and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it came back in my feet. And it took me a while to realize it was TMS again. And then I got it. So I think, oh, I've gotten over it twice. I've got this handled. And then it started sneaking around in different places. It came in once as acid reflux.
Yep, that's a big one.
Yeah, I had it for 2 months. I found out I had a gallstone. So I went to the doctor and he told me it was the size of a blueberry. It wasn't a problem. He goes, but I'd like to find out why you have this acid reflux. And then I go, oh, well, so would I. And now it's getting worse. And it's getting worse, just like TMS does when you believe in it. And he wanted me to take pills and I didn't want to take pills. And I did the endoscopy and I didn't. And he still thinks I want the pill. I don't want the pill. I went to a different doctor. And that doctor, who didn't get TMS or anything like that, but I was asking, he said one thing, he talked about, some stomach thing, ulcerative colitis or something like that, that had an emotional component. And I said, excuse me? And he goes, well, yeah, things, stomach and emotions are tied. And I went in my head, ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
I came home.
That's all you need to hear.
Yep. And I had a book by Dr. Well, I've forgotten the name of the book. It wasn't a Dr. Sarna book. There was one page on acid reflux. So 2 months of acid reflux, 24 hours after realizing it was TMS, it was gone.
See, so like this is what I want people to understand. It's okay if it dupes you. It's okay if it gets you back over and over and over again, because if you stay open – you know, Jeanette, I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this story, but there is something that happened to me about a year or two ago where my whole mouth started to burn and my teeth were aching and my gums were swollen and my mouth was burning and my tongue felt like it was on fire. And I thought, well, I'm dying. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm about to die.
Right.
And of course, and I ran to the doctor. And she said, oh, it's burning mouth syndrome. And I said, oh, is it? And I said, am I dying? I said, I think I'm tasting pennies. Am I about to have a stroke? You know, I was really getting myself crazy. And she said, you know, it's so interesting because I have this other patient who has this and she's been all over the world and she went to the Mayo Clinic and she went to Johns Hopkins. And they keep telling her it's like psychological or something. And I'm like, thanks, bye, I'm out. You know, and I got rid of it. Because you just need to know sometimes your nervous system is not going to wait for your permission for it to protect you. It's going to protect you first. It's a knee-jerk reaction. And then it's up to you to figure it out. And then once you know, then you have to do the work.
It is the only – I don't like to call it a disease. I don't know what it is because it's not really a disease.
Syndrome. It's a syndrome.
Syndrome. It's the only syndrome that is exactly like Tinkerbell. Because your ability to recover from it and the pace at which you recover is directly correlated to the depth of your
belief yes.
and acceptance, which I find fascinating. But it the teeth thing, I got to ask, because I've had right now, because I want to talk about a few things, because as far as I'm concerned, I hope you don't mind, I've nicknamed you the TMS Whisperer, because I haven't even told you the most recent effect from an email from you, but I had to have all new teeth. That doesn't come out exactly right, but I had laminates on my front teeth. I didn't realize they wore out and they had degraded underneath. So they got replaced with crowns. That's been 5 months ago. My teeth have not stopped hurting.
Hmm.
And what you just said, I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of now with TMS because I've kept it at bay, but what I've learned in the past year, in the past like 7 years, I also had a fun bout of overactive bladder. That makes you feel sexy. That wasn't an overactive bladder. That was also TMS. But more in the past year, really since we reconnected a few months ago, and you began to whisper, that it wants in.
Yes.
And if you're a person that does it, it's sort of a constant. Every time anything happens to you, including a painful hangnail, I think you've got to stop and take a look at it. Because I wasn't doing this with my teeth, but now I'm wondering, I go every 2 weeks, they drill some more. The pain never goes away.
Yeah, no, Jeanette, this is TMS.
This is also TMS. This is amazing. So can we jump? Because, well, let me just tell you the most recent one.
Wait, before you tell the most recent one, I want to go in chronology. So,
okay.
So you guys have now heard the beginning of the story that Jeanette, so Jeanette goes on TV. They have this segment called Fix Jeanette. My mother actually didn't see the original segment. She saw the follow-up where Jeanette was running the New York Marathon. And I think at that point you'd already done the 2020 interview. And it was just, you know, my mother was freaking out. And so she told me this, and this was the first time I had heard the name Dr. Sarno. So you, Jeanette, are the reason that I knew who Dr. Sarno was, you and Rosie. And so my mother, so I get involved in this stuff. It starts to change my life. And then Jeanette and I have no contact for a million and a half years. I mean, this wasn't
roughly.
Something. Yeah, roughly. Exactly. I mean, this was an estimate. I didn't know her. All she was a person on TV that had alerted my mother to this doctor. And so, as it were, and I think that maybe about 5-6 years ago, I think I reached out and emailed you and said, hey, this is the role you've played in my life. And not only has it completely cured me, and I have 3 beautiful biological children that I was told I would never have, and I've made a career out of this, and I'm teaching at the Omega Institute, and I'm traveling the world and all this stuff. And you were just like, awesome. And there really was, it was just kind of an introduction. But
yeah.
But then, over quarantine, I started watching Jeanette do these daily sort of video vlogs, if you will, from the woods out back behind her home, I guess. And
In Central Park.
Okay. Cause she's in the city. So, and I thought, oh, how cute, you know, and I was watching Jeanette, and it was kind of like, as far as I could see, a way to, you know, like document the pandemic and the quarantine. And then all of a sudden, Jeanette stopped doing them. And I was just kind of like, okay, you know, maybe she got bored. And then I see her post on Facebook, which is also very beshared, Jeanette, because I don't even really use Facebook personally at all. I have an online community there. So I go there to be with my community and to weigh in. But I don't really look at my personal Facebook page almost ever. And for whatever reason that day, I looked at it and I saw Jeanette post that the reason that she hasn't been on social media is that she had to stop all screens because of this terrible nausea, dizziness, vertigo situation or something like that. So I could not handle that for 1 second. And I said, Jeanette, because Jeanette, you have to understand, like, even though you and I don't really know each other, I hold you in a very special place in my heart because your energy and my energy has created my life. I mean, the stakes are that high. And so,
well, I get it. And that is the beauty, this incredible thing that has happened that we're about to tell them, that the effect that I had on your life and now the effect that you have had on mine.
Yeah. I mean, that's the magic. That's the modern day magic. So I don't remember if I commented on your Facebook post or I just
– No, you emailed.
I just went right to the email. I just went right to the email. I'm like, no, I'm not messing around here. And I wrote to her and I said, Jeanette, this problem you have is TMS. It makes complete sense that you have it because you're such a person that is susceptible to TMS just like me. And this is – you know, and I think I just said if you're interested in talking, please reach out to me. So you take it from there.
Yeah. Well, that was – I had had this nausea thing actually on and off since January of 2016, but I wonder why. Well, I know why. It was because with TMS, there is not always, but there is often a
triggering event, like a thing.
Right. Yeah. And if there's something traumatic or something you really don't want to look at, then take a look at your body and see where it's going to, you know, fester. Because I had had the ending, a really brutal, really horrible, Stephen King couldn't have written it, ending to a 20-year relationship.
Wow. Okay.
And which was, it came as a complete and total shock. And within a few weeks, I got this dizzy spell then connected nothing because I was sort of hardwired seeing TMS in my muscles as tendons.
Yes.
That there. I think that the acid reflux and the overactive bladder happened after this. But so since January of 2016, every once in a while I would wake up and go, ugh, I'd have the nausea thing. I would always have a stiff neck and nauseous. And sometimes initially I'd be really dizzy as in staggering, and then it sort of morphed, which we know TMS pain does morph. It keeps yes. finding a way to get its knuckles into you.
Yes.
So then it was just this overall queasy, and I couldn't, use my eyes. But it would last for a couple of weeks, and it would go away. The doctors, again, I know they mean well, but it was in my, they taught, it was the neck, so physical therapy again. It was, labyrinthitis, which later turns out it couldn't have been labyrinthitis. I had all kinds of diagnoses, which really wed me to the belief that there was something wrong with me.
Of course.
But then that last summer, I was just going to take a break with the Woody, that's what we called the outdoor thing. But the nausea just got worse and worse. And even scrolling on a phone, looking at a screen, I'm a writer, and looking at my page on the screen was making me nauseous. So I, for months, I didn't do anything. And the reason I posted was I was feeling bad because I knew a lot of people, watched them, and it was sweet of everyone. And I posted this thing about nausea. Then I got your email, and it was like, it's the sun breaking through the clouds.
Yeah.
Because you said not only was this TMS, you said that this manifestation of TMS was common.
Yes.
You've seen it a million times.
I have.
And it was like, and I had no trouble believing it. And this is, if I have an edge for TMS, my edge is that I believe in Tinkerbell.
Yes.
I don't have to go through the stages that some people do. I know people do, because obviously since I've had this, I did not work in it. I do not work in it in any way, shape, or form, but I've talked to many people who have TMS, and I know that being able to accept that something like the thoughts you don't want to have in your mind could cause this pain is a difficult hurdle for people.
Yes.
It is not a difficult hurdle for me. So,
well, that's also the reason that though that happened, Jeanette, though, is also right down to brain science. This isn't just because, you're a believer in things. It's because when our brain wires together with something that changes our life, it's really, really hard to unwire it in a good way. And so when you were going through years of wheelchairs and horrible pain and weight gain and misery and depression, when Dr. Sarno explained to you what was going on with you, and in 2 weeks, you were lumbering up a mountain, that is the kind of brain connection that is a beautiful, strong connection, which is why you are a good believer. And so that's a real gift.
And I've always said, when I talk to people, I get it. If it hadn't happened to me,
right,
I think I could have trouble believing
exactly.
it. But it happened to me.
Yes.
And there was no, I'm not going to go through every single symptom of every recurrence that I've had, but every single time, it's not like, I think I got over that TMS. Yeah. Or did I just get better? There's never been a question, because when I get it, it's done. And then we got on the phone, but that nausea, that's a hard one. And as I get older, I'm noticing it's trying to get in more. And I think that comes down to the fact that, as you said earlier, it took your second bout before you really did the work. So you so sweetly got on the phone with me. And I love an awful lot of things about you, but one of the things I really love is you don't pussyfoot around.
I don't fuck around.
You just don't. And none of this, oh, you poor thing, that must be awful for you. I don't deal well with that. That doesn't respond to me. You just go, stop it. Stop having it. You need to do the work. This is what it is. This is what I've learned. And you listen to everything. You listen like a, you hone in like, some people listen so loudly, they make you say things you didn't know. So you do that. And then it's just, here it is, And That is the best way. That is the best thing for me to hear. And you told me about journal speak,
yes.
which is your technique.
Which you didn't know yet. That was the
technique. No.
Yeah.
I've never heard it.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it. It is, you hear about journaling. Journal speak is not journaling.
No, it is not.
At all. So I've never heard of it. I've never read it. I've never heard of anybody until you and your book and your work with the journal speak. It's life-changing. And by the way, it's not easy.
No.
It is not easy because I'm seeing how much I don't want to see it.
No.
That's
why your brain is giving you all that those symptoms.
Yeah. And man, whatever it is down there, I'm telling you, was I Genghis Khan in a previous life? Yeah. It's like, oh, Lordy. But so with the nausea, again, this had been going on. We've now established it went on for almost 5 years, continuously for the 6 months before your email. And then we talked. You gave me the journal speak technique. I did the journal I did it, of course. And it took less than a week. And when I twig that it's TMS, in my head, it's as if it bleeds out.
Yeah.
It takes a couple of days.
That's because of your belief, though. Belief is, you have such a superpower with the fact that you got that initial SARNO experience because your brain is so wired for belief. And that is something, if anything comes out of this conversation for anyone out there, aside from just enjoying us because we're so delightful, is that belief is so key. And if you can continue to nurture that belief in yourself, whatever it takes, immerse yourself in Sarno's work, immerse yourself in my work, you know, join my Facebook community, whatever it takes to fully believe, because that is why Jeanette gets such quick results.
And being around a community and being around people that reflect it back to you is really valuable because that's what you did for me.
Right.
It's when you told me it was TMS, I didn't have to go out and research it. I did, you know, I now know because I know you and I know your work. I've now read your work. I know if you say it, that's what it is.
Right.
And you know what is interesting about the belief is that you can go, I can't really fully believe that stuff. Maybe it's true. But what the truth is, if you're not believing it's TMS, you are fully believing in a disease.
Yeah.
It's still a belief system. So it's not that you can't believe, it's a choice on which you want to believe.
True.
And one choice gives you your life back. And one choice holds you.
And swallows your life in it.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
So I know it's a choice. And then it comes back. And it will, the nausea is I will call it 99.9% because every once in a while I'll go, oh, there it is. And then I'll go, yeah, right, out.
But here's the thing though, Jeanette, and I'll say this because it'll benefit you also because, you know, life is long and you're on this journey. It's normal. Like there is no cure for the human condition. Sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies. I am a person, I'm the guru of this shit. I sit on the mount. Okay, like the freaking Buddha of TMS, and I still get TMS all the time. It's just that I don't see it as a problem. You know, if I'm having a really stressful day and I'm getting a headache or I'm getting a stomach thing or I'm feeling like weird, you know, sensations in my body, I just go, oh yeah, well, you know, this has been kind of a hard time, or I'm really feeling sad. I should really be sitting with my sadness, or God, I am so anxious today. I just acknowledge it. It, you know, people don't understand. Like if you woke up and, you know, everything was kind of challenging for you that day and you were in a bad mood, you wouldn't go to a doctor and say, I'm in a bad mood. Could we surgerize it? Could we have it removed?
Right.
I'm aware surgerize is not a word, but I like it. you know, and you know, nobody wants to excise the bad mood. They might want to, but they know it's not possible. All your nausea is a little like sadness or grief or fear or anxiety or anger. And you just go, oh yeah, okay. Well, just like you wouldn't go run to a doctor if you were angry, you don't have to run to a doctor for sensations. These are sensations that move throughout your body because sometimes we feel things in our heart and sometimes we feel things in our body. I can never say it enough. They are interchangeable. You can feel grief in your stomach. You can feel anger in your back. You can feel confusion and trepidation in your reflux. Like, this is called a human life. And that is why I say there is a cure for chronic pain and chronic conditions, because they are an epidemic of fear and confusion. But there's no cure for human pain, because that's just, hello, here we are being alive.
That's being human.
Yes.
It is amazing to me how easy it is to get fooled again. It is because I, you know, it's happening. I get something and, you know, if somebody is listening and they don't have TMS, but they're just interested, it is still a thing. You can't, unless you've had it, you can't imagine how bad that pain is.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, but this is real. And it is real. The pain is real with the emotional trigger. But man, it can be misleading, because you get it. And we live in a society that is hardwired to, you know, cut it out, pill it away. And you can't.
No, and let's also just say that in a bit of a softer way that I think probably applies to you, Jeanette. We also like want to be taken care of, and we just want a freaking break, and we just want someone to help us, and we just want to be in it with somebody. And sometimes that leads us to make a doctor's appointment, because it's just like, can I just not have to have this all on my shoulders? You know, I mean, I want people always to remember that the third aspect of my work, so I have three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And part of that self-compassion in the third facet is to realize it's really normal to want to just get support, or to be able to, you know, a lot of people, especially young women, reach out to me and say, sometimes I think I hold on to my pain because it helps me connect with my mother. And I say, I get it, because some moms, not all, but some moms are rather emotionally unavailable. But if the kid is sick, they'll show up.
Right. It's also, I think, normal to – it's the fear of the feeling.
Yes.
That – because, you know, as to recover from TMS, you talk to your brain. And I used to, in the very beginning, I would swear a freaking blue streak at it, and I would yell at it, and I would be mean. And now I tell it to leave me alone, and I keep saying, what is it you think I can't handle?
Right.
Because I can handle it. But for some of us, it's bad. You know, whatever, you know, the roar of fear, or the roar of anger. And I think, you know, I think I cut it off to the point where I stopped feeling anything at all.
Which is why you were feeling it all through your body, because it's going to be felt somewhere. That is, by the way, non-negotiable. Your nervous system does not ask your opinion and doesn't ask your permission. It will be felt somewhere if you're willing to come down the road that Jeanette and I are leading you down and say that you'll feel it through your heart. Then you don't need to have any physical chronic conditions. But if you aren't willing, or if you're not yet ready to be willing, your nervous system says fine. It's actually completely nonplussed. It's happy to give you back pain or foot pain or whatever, as it is to give you a broken heart and have you deal with it that way. It's
right. And it's trying to help.
Yes.
That's the weird thing.
Yes.
Is that it's, and that understanding has, I think, each level of understanding helps you move off it more quickly.
Yes.
So the other day we had an email exchange. You were just checking in to see how I was, and I was giving you an update on something, you know, that we've been talking about. And I let you know that the nausea thing and all of that still great, that my feet had been bothering me, and that a doctor had told me that I had plantar fasciitis, although I was really thinking it was TMS. But you know, usually if I think it's TMS, I can get rid of it. And now months again of this, and you wrote back all caps, stop going to the doctor.
To the doctor.
TMS. I took a screenshot of that email, and so that every time I get a twinge, I go and look at it, because that's why I'm calling you the TMS whisperer. Because as soon as I got that, it was, oh, what a relief.
Yeah.
Now I can stop thinking it's TMS and knowing it's TMS.
Yes.
Because, and it had gotten, again, like right now, it's not completely gone, but here's the little trajectory just since that email. I had, the day before that email, I had walked 9 miles unintentionally. I met a friend. I have not stopped walking through the whole thing, because I think if I do that, I know that as soon as you change your behavior to accommodate the pain, the greater the pain will grow.
Yeah.
That's a given. So And I knew from going to the doctor that it was not a stress fracture and I did not have a bone spur. So I'm not believing in the TM. I mean, I'm not believing in the plantar fasciitis, but my nose just grew because I wasn't completely not believing in it. I think it's TMS. You'll never get over TMS by thinking it's TMS. You know what I mean? So you said that. And and I had walked the 9 miles the day before. So I'm in agony. Oh my God. The next day I wake up. I mean, the pain, because your brain has something to attach it to. Your brain says you walk 9 miles.
Of course.
Now you can really suffer. So that day when you said that, and I went, oh, what a relief. So I have a standing desk, so I stand all day. And then I had been planning a hiking trip, not really a trip. I planned to go hiking in New Jersey. And I was really going back and forth thinking, oh my God, this is so bad. Maybe I should put it off. I have your email that I can check over and over. And it was, oh no, don't need to put that trip off. In fact, that would be the worst thing I could do. So I go out to go hiking. Pain is much less, much less, much less. Oh my God, it doesn't hurt at all. I've got nothing. It was a really fun, moderate. It should at least have been moderate plus. We needed more credit on the difficulty of that hike. My feet didn't bother me at all.
Awesome.
And then the point I'm getting to is then the next day I'm sitting on a lounge chair by, the pool, not that it's open yet. Still, I'm sitting there in the sun. And
Jeanette, come closer to the microphone. I can't hear you.
Oh, thank you. I'm thinking about the TMS. I'm thinking about my feet. I'm asking myself what it is I don't want to know. And I had, because I wasn't writing. I should have been writing, but I was sitting outside and I was too lazy. And my stomach clenched with fear over something. And I went, oh, that's it. That's it. It's fear. I don't want to feel this fear. And I sat there feeling it, which was very unpleasant. But it was a choice between feeling this very unpleasant fear over something that's quite real but so what? Not feeling it, having my feet hurt is not going to help the fear. It's not going to change that situation.
Very important point.
So it was, which is fascinating. And then I realized how often, a lot of times in journal speak, I try to talk myself out of it. And I go, this is not the point. If I write down and go, you know, I'm really worried I'm really worried about osteoporosis because it got real bad real fast. I'm really worried about it, but you know, it's really okay because, you know, it can move slowly. I'm terrified that I'm going to turn to dust, but you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing it. So I'll try to talk myself out.
Because it's just your sweet, lovey brain that's trying to give you a break. And that's why your conscious mind, which is the place where we do get rid of our TMS. Our unconscious is where we have TMS, and our conscious mind is where we get rid of it, can say no, and gently, no.
During a journal speak, if instead of being able to, because you had shared one of yours with me at one point, and it was so raw and so intense and so helpful to really see how deep one needs to go. And in a journal speak, if I'm fighting myself and making nice in my journal speak, that's not really where I'm trying to, you know, get guidance. I need to go deeper than that in journal speak and stop talking myself out of the fear, don't I?
Yes. And also I want to say that no matter what comes out in journal speak, it's what needs to come out in journal speak. So if you notice, and also remember that it's really helpful to see yourself as having an observational self, or like Ram Dass calls the witness. And so it's like, so you're sitting there doing the journal speak, and you're saying, I'm scared I'm going to turn to dust. I'm scared of osteoporosis. I'm scared of aging. I'm scared of becoming less vital, whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, but, you know, I'm doing this and doing that. And just keep the witness. Keep the witness. Freud says you have an observing ego. I call it an observing eagle. It's like it flies. It's flying above you like an eagle looking down on you. So you have that witness and you say, I see what's happening here. I see that I'm trying to rescue myself from these really scary thoughts, sort of like dipping in and touching the bottom of the pool and then like pushing myself back up. I see what's happening. It's okay. I can sit there. I can sit at the bottom of the pool. I will not drown. Let's really talk. And you can even, I'm literally saying you can write these words. Let's really talk about how scared I am, knowing that, yes, I'm doing these things, but also knowing that that's not the point of what we're doing here.
Right. Right. That's really helpful. And then the anger ones, because I've got I go back to this, you know, I have my list of things to go to, you know, you said to make, but I go to the same one every time. So I think that it's, you know, because it comes down to that, that stuff in that relationship and, you know, anger at the situation, anger at myself, mm-hmm. which I know I asked you about once, because I used to, somebody said, well, you're not allowed to be angry at yourself.
Of course you are.
We're a little stuck right now because I am. So
no, you are 100%. It's necessary to own how angry we get at ourselves.
Yeah. And that was groundbreaking for me when you told me that. So I think that, and I'm more comfortable with anger than I am with fear. I am more comfortable with anger than I am with sadness. So that's why I'm, and honestly, you know, a physical thing like osteoporosis is easier to deal with than the fury that comes up, you know, from the feet, from, you know, childhood things or from, you know, a relationship situation. So I guess I'm meandering here, but what it comes to is that journal speak is a discovery method for what's going on.
Yes.
That for me, even, you know, actual, you know, going every week therapy, and I used to do a gestalt therapy, all of this stuff, it didn't get to the kernel. After a 20-minute journal speaks, you said, you know, be kind and you know, give yourself a 10-minute meditation. Well, you have to. You know, I need to lie down because you go, I mean, I'm fighting it. I'm definitely fighting it. But it is the most interesting tool that for emotional anything that I've actually ever encountered.
Awesome. I love your description of it. And I want to just highlight something you said that I don't know if I've ever heard it said this way. And it's very important for people to understand. What Jeanette just said is you can either feel the depths of your fear or whatever big feeling, or you mm-hmm. can feel your foot pain. But feeling your foot pain for however long you do still does nothing to transform the fear. Right. So essentially, yes, it's a choice, but it's also kind of when your feet, when you choose to, you know, look away from the emotions and to just live in this chronic pain you're living in, you're actually living with both, because the fear still pops up when it pops up. It's just that we shove it down and we, you know, we tend to our physical body and we go from doctor to doctor and, you know, the brain feels more comfortable in action than in inaction. So because the brain feels more comfortable when we're doing things, then we stay doing things. And the thing is, but the fear is still there. So now you're double fisting the fear and the pain. Whereas if you can just pause and go to the heart of darkness. You know, I used to speak on the Sarno panel at NYU, and I had a colleague who said, go into your darkest room and turn on the light. Just sit down. Oh. It's okay. Be here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Because it's, and it's also you're choosing the pain, even though you don't realize you're choosing the pain. And fear, particularly anger, is another one. That's a different bucket for me, but fear, it's fear of something that hasn't happened yet.
Yes, which is anxiety.
Yeah, so you're holding a whole lot of emotion that just keeps you stuck. And then with your feet, I might need to change some of my conversation to my brain, because one of the things I'll say is, I'm on to you. I know what you're doing. Whatever you think I can't handle, I can handle, but go ahead.
Right.
I can take it as long as you can. I will win. I always win. But I think I'm encouraging it to stick in there when I say
no,
it that way.
You know, I would gently adjust that energy to more of a hands open to the sky. I say this constantly, you know, face up to the sky, eyes closed. However this goes, it's okay for me. It's all right. Mm. Whatever you need, however this, I honestly think that the more bored and whatever we can get toward our symptoms, the quicker they go away, because the nervous system reads desire to be different than we are as fear.
Right.
Anytime you want to be other than where you exactly are right now, the nervous system reads fear, urgency. Let's get the hell out of here. And so if you can just say, yeah, however this goes, it's okay for me. I promise. People hate me for saying this because they're like, how can I say that? I can't live in this pain. And I say, I know. I have been you. I get it. But this is the energy that the nervous system needs.
Would you say that one more time?
Which part?
What you say to the universe with your hands up.
Okay.
However this goes,
it's okay for me. With the energy of my words, however this goes, it's okay for me. Oh, well, here we are living a human life, beauty, pain, good, bad, hard, easy, whatever. You know, I'm here for it. And you know, I often say this, but the pain or whatever it is, the symptom that's getting you involved in this work is the biggest, littlest part. Yes, it's big. It's huge because without your health, you have nothing. And if you're struggling or suffering, yes, it's everything. But as soon as it's not everything anymore, this life-changing work of your humanity, of inviting yourself into the stream of your own life is to me so much bigger than any pain.
Oh my God. I need a scribe. inviting yourself into the stream of your own life. I am writing it down. That is a thing that may be helpful for people who are working their way out too, is the touch points like this. I am not kidding about about your email. I took the screenshot of. Incredibly helpful to the stream of your own life to,
you know,
have strong, helpful, you know, like you just handed me two little life rafts when the water gets rough.
And you know what? And I'll say that for everyone. That's why I started this podcast, because, you know, the podcast is really about bringing something right into your home, right into your car, right into your AirPods, you know, just right here into your ears where you could say, this is for you. You can sit with us anytime you need and know that Jeanette and I are no different than one another, and we're no different than you. And we're all just people trying our best with our trauma and with our life experiences and with our pain and our heartbreak and all the things that have happened. And we're trying to get by, and we're trying to get by without our nervous systems feeling the need to somaticize our pain in order to give us something to control, because that doesn't help. It keeps us stuck. And this is what Jeanette has learned over the years. And it's all just so incredible because Jeanette's – so I used to say – I remember writing this when I first wrote my book – that our pain leads us to our desperation, and our desperation leads us to our truth. And Jeanette's desperation led her to finally wheel on into Rosie's office and say, put me on TV. And that led to my awakening. And then my awakening and my years of compiling this work has led to Jeanette's awakening. And it's a beautiful freaking thing.
Right. Another awakening, because my first desperation took me there, but my second, which was an easy recovery. And my second desperation took me to doing the work, to finding out how to do the work and doing the work. Some people may be able to do it without ever doing the work, but my experience was I avoided it for a while, but then you have to do the work.
Yeah, and I'll say as an addendum to that, no one can ever do it forever without doing the work. They just don't know it's TMS. So for example, a person might have had back pain, seen Dr. Sarno in the 80s, you know, gotten rid of it in a very similar fashion that you did, and then 35 years later with like severe chronic reflux or severe IBS, or they just are like, oh, I'm a person with stomach issues and I'm on 10 different meds, but they never consider, you know. The reason that nobody really gets out of this without doing the work is because, as Sarno explained, we have a reservoir inside of us of rage and pain and fear and grief and shame and all the things that we build up, because no one's immune to it unless you're a full psychopath. And listen, if you're a full psychopath, good on you. You know, as long as you know, I mean, so don't kill anyone, but like, you know, it's like, you know, I guess there are people that are immune, but most of us lovely feeling humans, are, that reservoir is going to fill up. And when the reservoir starts to reach maximum density and threaten to spill over and to inform us of how scared or ashamed or sad or grieving or rageful we are, you're going to get something. And some people, their TMS is just a lack of joy for life. And they just think, I'm just a blah person, just getting through it. Sometimes their TMS is fatigue. Sometimes their TMS is all over things, where one day it's a headache and another day it's a knee thing, and it's another day it's a irritable bowel, another day it's a bladder urgency. By the way, there's so much bladder and pelvic stuff going on right now. It's like insane how much I hear about that.
Yeah, that was speaking of your Facebook group and a community, that is so, I mentioned this before, but when the overactive bladder, I don't know why it got into my head. I went, I wonder. And I went to the TMS wiki and I put overactive bladder. And then I see all these other people.
Yeah.
Oh, they had overactive bladder as TMS.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could get over it, was knowing that it was TMS. I now, and in this conversation right now, this one, you've opened my mind to these teeth. You know, I think, you know, their crowns in there not fitting, so it can't be TMS. I think if you're somebody that has TMS, which I kind of think everybody does.
Everybody does.
But if you're somebody really prone to it, as I am, you have to be suspicious of everything.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, every physical thing that happens to me, I need to start realizing that every single thing, because I've learned what my brain can do. You know, maybe my brain is draining the bones. Anything is possible.
And here's the thing. Let's not get too urgent about it. Your brain isn't doing anything to you. Your brain is just, you're just a person.
It's doing it for you.
It's doing it for you. And B, it's not so scary. Like, you know, I'm hearing your energy and it's just a little bit too scared. You don't need to be as scared. What it really is
that's helpful.
Okay, sure. Anytime.
It is helpful.
This is the thing. We are here. I want to kind of bring the whole energy of this to a very gentle, loving place. We are here sitting on a boat going down a river, and this is human life. And on some days the clouds are going to get really dark and it's going to rain. And on some days it's just going to be this beautiful temperate day. And some days it's going to be like humid and buggy and you're going to be like, ugh. And it's just life, and it's okay. And if we can just stay awake and stay aware and stay mindful of the fact that this is a fluid chat between our mind and our body and our nervous system and our physical sensations, then it's not such a 5-alarm fire. Like, it's okay. It's okay. We're all okay. And just like roll down the river, man.
I love that.
It is.
I think, you know, you hear something, it's like, oh my God, right. That's another little piece that you have to hold. You do have to know that. Because it was like when I used to swear and scream at it. But I think I don't get to that gentle place.
And it can all be the gentle place. And that's why journal speak is such a gift, because you can get into your journal speak and you can scream if you need to, and you can write the letter you'll never send, and you can tell every person off, and you just destroy it. You know, it's just like blowing your nose in a tissue. Just when you're done, just delete or rip up or whatever, you know, method you use to write. And you know what? Go have a good day. Like, what are we here for?
I love it.
Awesome. Well, listen, cool. Jeanette,
I really love your work.
Thank you so much for coming and chatting with me today.
Thank you so much. I feel like I had a session.
everything with me always is.
Well, I love it. Thank you so very, very much.
All right. Well, guys, I'm so glad you got to share a peek into mine and Jeanette's story. And I send you a lot of big love. If you're enjoying the podcast, please jump over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really helps get it out to as many people as possible. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.